No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Bear Essentials. On today's show, I'm rolling solo, but I'll be breaking down the latest Bears happenings, and in addition, I'll be announcing my Bears sixth-round mock draft audience. I got a lot of stuff on deck for y'all today. Without further ado, let's get into it. First order of business, I want to talk about Ryan Bates. So I know, audience, yes, late to the party here, but I still want to give you guys my thoughts on the situation. So we know from looking at the situation that happened there with the Bills matching that offer sheet that the Bears signed Bates to a four-year deal. So when I saw that, I said, damn, they was ready to commit to Bates for the long haul. So to me, it seemed like Ryan Poles saw a guy that he said, you know what, he could be a nice building block for this team, but that's the risk that you run in restricted free agency because you see what happened. The Bills also said, not so fast. We want this guy back here in the fold with us. So we're back to the drawing board. And so we'll see how Ryan Poles and company looks to get this interior offensive line up and going, because as A-Dub and I've talked about in the show ad nauseum, protecting Justin Fields is the ultimate priority. Getting Justin Fields weapons is the secondary primary objective here. So they got a lot of work to do. But when I look at that Ryan Bates situation, I say, you know what? He could be an ascending player. I think the Buffalo Bills probably know, like, hey, we got to lock this guy up because he's going to be a piece of protected Josh Allen here. So Ryan Poles, I don't know. I don't know. I keep telling you guys to be patient. But this offseason, man, it's even testing my patience. But I'm going to still sit back and I'm going to give a guy a chance. You know what I'm saying? Because he deserves that. He's new to the position. I mean, he took over a situation that was just awful. I mean, his roster, the salary cap-wise, he had to make tough decisions, whatever, you know. I don't get into all that part. But I would say the fact that we lost Ryan Bates, yeah, it stunk, but it shouldn't drastically change the way any of us are viewing the Bears offseason. Because right now, I mean, it is what it is. I think it's wild that the Buffalo Bills matched the contract, not because of Ryan Bates, but the fact, hey, 4 years, and I'm not sure how the money shaped up there. But listen, they really like the guy because they brought him back into the fold. But we look at this roster here. Man, oh, man. It might be time out for the let the market come to us type of strategy that I think that Ryan Poles was trying to implore. Because if you look at this roster right now, offensive line, wide receiver, cornerback, we got a lot of problems there at those positions. And I think it might be time for them to get a little aggressive because, hey, we do have a decent number of draft picks, but you're not going to be able to clear up all of these issues with this team with those draft picks. There's going to be some things they're going to have to do with free agency. So, honestly, audience, I'm starting to just look at this situation. I'm wanting Ryan Poles to be just a little bit more aggressive. You know, he don't have to spend big or anything like that. You know, because honestly, ain't nobody left to spend a lot of money on anyway. But this offensive roster is well below replacement level. And as I mentioned earlier, when I started this thing up, what are the two objectives here for this season? Protect Justin Fields, put weapons around him. When you look at this offensive roster right now, they are not building around Justin Fields effectively. Now, I know it's still early. It's only April. But I'm just going to tell you, I just need something more. And I'm still being patient. But I just need to see a couple of moves here, just something to just see, to let us all see, okay, you guys are doing things to get Justin Fields some help. So right now, I'm just not seeing it. So a lot of people have been messaging us and saying, well, Press, you know, look at how the Buffalo Bills rebuild around, how they rebuilt around Josh Allen. And they were like, hey, by year three, he was surrounded by talent. Well, one thing that I want to tell the audience when you think about that, it's a flawed argument because if you even look at year two with Josh Allen in that system, his support system, coaching staff, and players around him was much better than what I see the Bears rolling out this year. So right now, I just look at this situation and I say, please do not fail this kid, because this kid's been busting his ass. You guys have all been seeing it, the workouts this kid's been doing, how he's been working out with Darnell Mooney, how he's been working out with Cole Kmet. Justin Fields gets it, and he's going into the season knowing that he's going to be the guy, and he's going to work his ass off. But they can't let the kid down. Give him something to work with here. You know what I mean? But I do appreciate the people that have reached out, and they said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that they're trying to model it after Buffalo Bills. Not so fast. Not so fast. But in my opinion, there's also another group on Bears Twitter that says, oh, well, the new organization or the new regime, they're trying to evaluate Justin Fields this season. If you think that, then I have some swamp land to sell you down to Florida, because they have already done their evaluations of this kid. There's no way that they would have gone and said the things that they said if they haven't already been pleased with what they've seen of this kid. And the fact they probably know, hey, we might have our quarterback here in the future. They love him. No, we know that there's going to be some limitations here in this upcoming season. But my Lord, please, Ryan Poles, for the love of God, do something on this offensive side of the ball. Please get this man some weapons. Damn. Now, in the last episode, A-Dub and I talked to you guys about the fact that Trevor Siemian was coming into town for a visit. Well, audience, since we last recorded, Trevor Siemian has signed. So now we got a second-string quarterback, which means, as I mentioned on the last time we spoke to you guys, Nick Foles is going to be on the trading block. Good luck with any team giving up any sort of draft capital to take that contract off of our hands. However, I love the move. I love the move bringing Trevor Siemian in here. Guys, if you look at Trevor Siemian on tape, solid quarterback. I think he's going to be a great number two behind Justin Fields. And also, too, I love his social media post from a couple weeks ago when this man went out there and said, look, I met my wife in Chicago. I played my college ball here in Chicago, and here I am back. It's a guy that loves Chicago. He's happy to be here, and we're happy to have him here as well. And also, too, we know that, hey, in the case, and I don't want this to happen, but in the case of something happens to our number one guy, well, you got a guy like Trevor Siemian that can come off the bench and he can win you a ball game, right? And that's what you want in that situation there. The contract was low-risk contract, two-year deal, $4 million. It's clear that Siemian is going to be that quarterback too. Honestly, audience, Nick Foles and that contract, it's going to be tough to get rid of that thing. But Ryan Poles, it's going to be really, really cool to see what he's able to do with this. As we edge closer to the draft, audience, it may be a situation where we may see a last-second trade happening, but, I mean, I'm really hoping. I'm really, really hoping. Dane Cruikshank, the backup safety, we brought him in here. You bring in Dane in here as a backup safety. So, yeah, fine. Cool move. I mean, when I look at the situation with this move, he's likely not going to start, but he'll be a key depth piece and a core special teamer. So when you look at the situation, and we know the fact that, hey, we're down a safety from last season, Deion Bush. Deion Bush is no longer with the team. So when you insert a guy like Dane Cruikshank into this equation here, he's going to serve as a key depth piece for the team and also a core special teamer. And that is what we lost in the Deion Bush. So now you got a guy coming in here in Dane. Hopefully he can kind of fill that void that's been left with Deion Bush leaving for the Chiefs. So this is a kid, when you look at him on tape, he stepped up when his number was called. And when I saw the fact that his nickname is the tight end eraser, well, you guys already know what that's about. If you saw the Titans play against the Kansas City Chiefs and you saw that defense that he played on Travis Kelce, among other people, he's a guy that I'm like, okay, intriguing signing. Ryan Poles kind of showing some of those scouting chops there. So, as I mentioned, he's not going to start opposite of Eddie Jackson, but this is a key guy that you could bring into the field in an alternate situation, or you have a dime package or, you know, type of personnel in there. You can get them on the field that way. But anyway, the point of the matter is this is a guy that's going to be a valuable role player, and you can't have enough of those on your team. Now, speaking of our own free agents, Jesper Horsted returning back on a one-year deal. I know many of Bears Nation loved him, fell in love with him during the preseason. That man had that 3-touchdown game, was out here balling on them. But then, of course, because of the last regime, not utilizing them, All we saw from him was 8 catches and 1 touchdown last season. So I'm hoping that this new staff will get this kid out there on the field a little bit more. Find ways to get him the ball. Because I tell you one thing, when there's an opportunity for him to score, he gets it done. I mean, look at that touchdown he scored at the end of the season there. My thing is, he didn't get much of an opportunity last season under Matt Nagy and that offensive scheme. But if you look at things right now, Cole Kmet is probably going to be your starter, right? Is going to be your starter. So Jesper Horsted is going to be behind him. Jimmy Graham's not returning. Jesse James is looking like he probably won't return as well. So you'll see Jesper Horsted get a little bit more time. And I have a strong opinion that Ryan Poles is also going to draft the tight end later in the draft. So I think they'll be good there with that position. Now, we lost a couple guys. Andy Dalton went to the New Orleans Saints. Alex Barnes went to the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Iggy went to the Seattle Seahawks. And we wish those guys well. Thank you for your time here in Chicago. You know, but it is what it is. You know, and in a situation where I look at those guys that I just talked about a second ago that left, none of those moves are going to move the needle as far as, like, guys that I'm like, oh, man, detrimental to the team. You know, Alex Barnes, I thought was okay. Andy Dalton, I thought he did a really solid job there last year when his number was called. You know, no problems there. And Iggy was up and down. More of a special teams guy. We'll see what happens with him down there in Seattle. But I want to turn the page on this and talk about the Bears returning to work. So the Bears, they returned to Hallis Hall here to start their offseason program. Now, I talked about earlier the fact that Justin Fields has been working out. This kid has been busting his tail all offseason. So when the Bears returned to Hallis Hall, you had guys like Justin Fields, Roquan, Adel's boy, Money Moon, Eddie Jackson. Oh, okay, Eddie. David Montgomery, Cole Kmet, and Travis Gibson. These were among the players that reported for the first day of voluntary offseason workouts. And the reason why I wanted to highlight Eddie Jackson is because you guys remember when I talked about on the podcast last year, those defensive guys didn't show up outside of Roquan Smith, who did not miss a single practice, a single workout. He showed leadership. I talked about the fact that Roquan showed you right there he was going to be that leader on this team, not just the defense, but this team. But Eddie Jackson showed up. So I feel like Eddie Jackson's seeing that writing on the wall, man. He's like, all right, you know what? I'm showing up, and I'm going to do something that I didn't do last year. And I'm hoping that that means something because, you know, Matt Eberflus, he had a lot to say about Eddie Jackson on this. But he said, look, Eddie's going to have a fresh slate this season. And Eberflus did not hide from the fact that Eddie has had a lot of scrutiny over the last couple of years. But Eberflus spoke very highly of him. And he said that he plans on using him in a way that's going to best utilize his skill set. He said, look, Eddie's got really good instincts. And so he's focusing on the positive with Eddie. He knows that Eddie can get the ball out. He said he's really proficient at blitzing. So I wonder if we're going to see Eddie Jackson in positions where he can make more plays. Are we going to see him blitzing a little bit more? Are we going to see them utilizing him in ways where he can be more of a playmaker? But what I see that the coach says, look, I know what this guy does well. Well, one of the things that we all have heard about Eberflus is that he puts his players in position to make plays. But now also, we also know that Eberflus has gone on record and says that he expects high effort out of his players on every single snap. And he said anybody that doesn't do that is considered a loaf. Well, Bears Nation, you guys know that there's been times in Eddie Jackson's career here in Chicago that he has loafed on plays. And so under this new coaching staff, they're not going to play that shit. And so I hope that Eddie is taking all of this in right now and understanding that he's got a coach that's giving him a chance. Because that's the one thing that I really like to hear from Eberflus. He's going to throw everything that was said about Eddie out the window. He's like, look, I wasn't here for that. The guy's got a clean slate with me. But now it's up to Eddie to take advantage of having that clean slate. Because if somebody's going to give you that type of a shot in the arm and give you that type of a chance, you got to make the most of that opportunity, Eddie. And I really hope that he does. I really was pleased by the fact that I saw that he showed up to the offseason program. It's really good. It's really good to see that. I mean, when you look at the fact that you got a guy like Travis Gibson, who I've been high on this show, A-Dub, and I really love what this kid brings to the table. I think he's going to have a breakout season coming up here in 2022. The fact that he showed up and said, hey, it felt like the first day of school. You could tell that this kid is ready. He's chomping at the bit. I can't wait to see him get unleashed in this defense. You had guys like Cole Kmet, as I mentioned. He talked about how he's excited to be back. Tevin Jenkins, right? We know that he had an up and down rookie season, the back issues, and really not understanding why Matt Nagy didn't put him out there more. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, he knows that, hey, this is going to be an important offseason for me, and it's going to be really important to make sure that I get off on the right track. And I love that. This is a kid that knows the opportunity in front of him. He's going to take that opportunity and do the best thing he has to do with it. I don't have to say much about David Montgomery and Roquan Smith. You guys already know what I feel about those guys. Those guys are leaders on this team. David Montgomery, I swear to God, man, they better work on an extension for him as soon as is possible, because they better work on an extension for him as soon as possible. He and Roquan Smith are guys I want on this team for the long haul. Roquan Smith is everything that is right about a player in the Chicago Bears uniform. I'm going to say that again. He is everything that is right about a player in the Chicago Bears uniform. Now, there's going to be people in our fan base that's going to nitpick about Roquan Smith. And some people will say empty calories. Well, guess what? You give me those empty calories, because that motherfucker is good for 150 tackles a season, plays sideline to sideline, and is a tenacious tackler and is a leader. That is what we need more of on this team. A leader. He is a leader. I love everything he brings to the team. Justin Fields. I talked about him earlier on this. Now, you look at a kid like Justin Fields. Think about the season that he had last year. It wasn't really to his satisfaction. He wasn't really happy with that season that he had. But I'll tell you one thing. With the work and effort that this kid's been putting in this offseason, you know he's going to clean up every single thing that anybody could have nitpicked about that season that he had. Because I'll tell you one thing, audience. They were talking to his quarterback coach that he's been doing workouts with. And as I mentioned, Justin Fields has been working his ass off. And that quarterback coach went on the radio and said, look, he said, this guy has a lot of parts of his game that he's working on fine-tuning. And so when you see that, you know there's areas of his game that he already knows from year one to year two he needed to tighten up, and he needed to really clean up just to make sure that he was putting himself in position to be the quarterback that we all know that he could be here in this system. And one of the things that I really enjoyed hearing from his quarterback gurus is the fact of ball security. Now, that's a lot of what Bears fans were talking about with Justin last year. Oh, man, too many times he was putting the ball on the ground. Well, hey, he knew that that was a problem. That's something he's working on, getting the ball out quicker. Okay, these are things that his quarterback coach is saying that they're working on together. And I tell you one thing, Bears Nation, that makes me happy as hell. Because those are a couple things that we all kind of nitpicked on. But guess what? At the end of the day, he was a rookie and a bad scheme behind a bad offensive line. And you guys know the rest. And that's why I'm really hoping that Ryan Poles does something here to get this kid some weapons on this offensive side of the ball. And I hope that they figure out some sort of move on that offensive line to get someone in here that can help the kid out. Because I do not want to see games like that Tampa Bay Buccaneers game this season where Justin Fields is getting hit relentlessly like that. I don't want games like that Cleveland Browns game where he was getting hit relentlessly and they pan over to the sideline and the kid just looks like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is happening to me? I don't want him looking like that. I want this kid to have fun. I want this kid to go out there and ball out and be who he is. He's a fucking stud. And that's what I want to see. So, excited about the fact that the Bears are back to work here. Audience, there's many phases of the offseason program. We know this is phase one. So this is where they come in. These are 2 weeks where they're going to be focused strictly on strength and conditioning, as well as any sort of physical rehabilitation, right? But then we know phase two comes up, and that's the next 3 weeks of the offseason program, and that's when we're going to start to roll out on-the-field workouts. May include some individual player instruction, drill work, team practices. There's no offense versus defense is going to be permitted during this time. But then you have phase three. That's the final 4 weeks of the program. So this is when the OTAs come into consideration. This is the organized team activities. Now, during this time, again, no live contact is permitted, but teams are allowed to conduct 7-on-7, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11 drills. So that's going to be really cool. Now, one thing to take note, since the Bears have a new head coach in Matt Eberflus, the Bears are allowed to hold a voluntary minicamp before the NFL draft. So it's a 3-day minicamp, so that gives them that opportunity to come together and get some more work in, helps from a continuity, helps Getty and crew to get that offense put in, and helps Eberflus and Alan Williams work on that defense and just make sure that they have everything kind of fine-tuned as we kind of head into the main meat and potatoes of the offseason. So, audience, we got a lot to talk about as we move forward here on the show, but those are just some things that I wanted to just make sure that we were kind of chatted through, because it's going to be a long, long offseason. A lot of talk about workouts, a lot of talk about OTAs. The draft's not even here yet. So there's a lot that we have to unpack. So we'll be here for every single aspect of that. But before I go in and roll out my mock draft here, I want to segue over to Ryan Poles. Now, you guys know earlier, I still am preaching patience when it comes to Ryan Poles. However, I just really want to see him make a couple moves here in free agency. I know that there's not many people left, but there's still a couple names out there that I think that he can really be looking at, whether it's on the wide receiver side, whether it's on that offensive line. Because we're less than a month away from the NFL draft. And like I said, we got a lot of important roster needs, but we can't try to fix them all with our draft picks. We only got 6 draft selections. So, and I mean, shit, keep in mind, we don't have any in the first round. So it's going to be very important to make sure that they're doing a little bit more so that way what he does in the draft complements some of these moves that he's made down the stretch. Now, Ryan Poles, in his own words, he believes they're in a good position to land some top prospects with those 3 picks they have in the top 71. And when you look at this draft, A-Dub and I went down to the Senior Bowl. We've done a lot of scouting from the NFL Combine. And I do believe he's correct in that assessment. I think there's a lot of talent in the first 100 selections in this draft. However, I would just love to see that he puts himself in a position where he's not scrambling draft time, where he doesn't feel the need that he has to trade up. Because, see, that was the Ryan Pace playbook. Putting himself in a position where he had to stress out. He had to scramble at the last second because he was panicking, because he was trying to figure out something because he wasn't able to address it in free agency. Or in the situation with Ryan Poles, Ryan Pace, he was trying to clean up one of his many mistakes that he made. Anyway, my point is, I agree with Ryan Poles. I think he is in a good position. He says excited about it. He thinks they're in a really good range of really good players. And when you guys hear my mock draft, you'll probably see that you might agree with some of the people that I am kind of holding in on. But as I mentioned, there's quite a few roster holes that we need to address. And not just on offense. I know I picked on offense, but defense as well. There's a lot of difficult choices ahead for this GM. I know we talked about it on previous episodes. Bringing in Byron Pringle, bringing in Equanimeous St. Brown, Lucas Patrick, Dakota Dozier. Yeah, those are cool moves. But again, wide receiver, offensive line, corner are still top needs. Building around Justin Fields. That's going to require them to fix those issues in that pass protection. Giving him additional weapons, right? But now, defensively. Jalen Johnson and Eddie Jackson are the only confirmed starters at corner and safety. Linebacker is another position that I think is in a big need. We're transitioning to a 4-3 defense. Eberflus. Now, we signed a lot of guys to one-year deals, little depth piece, little social, special teams type players. But I still think that's a position that they need to really be looking at and really honing in on. Because I'll tell you what they got is. A lot of us are probably looking at this season and know it's going to be rough. But look at the schedule for 2022. I look at this schedule and I say, this schedule puts us in a decent situation. I think we could be a lot better this season than a lot of people are giving us credit for. And I know, listen, we traded away Khalil Mack, right? A lot of our favorite players are no longer here. Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, who is still unsigned, by the way. I know Cousin Heidi's probably seeing that. She sees what's going on. She sees the vibes. But there is a lot of guys that have left this ball club, that have left this franchise. Those things hurt, you know, of this fan base. But, audience, the road ahead, I don't think is as painful as we all think. I think Ryan Poles has the opportunity to do some things here. And let's I'm just going to say it. Let's be honest here. DK Metcalf is out there for the taking. Ryan Poles, I know you on the phone with his agent. I know. I just know it. I just know he on the phone with Seattle. Because this is a guy that was already frustrated in Seattle last season. Him and Russell, I don't know what the hell was going on with those two. He wasn't targeting DK the way he was supposed to. Now DK don't even have a quarterback? Nah, get DK up out of Seattle. Ryan Poles, come on now. Figure that shit out. Figure it out. That's a guy right there that's right for the taking. Could you imagine an offense with a DK Metcalf and a Justin Fields and a Darnell Mooney? My Lord. With David Montgomery running through open lanes behind a fullback now. Oh, shit, audience. Let's get him. All right, let me get this mock draft into you guys before I get out of here. So, in the second round of pick 39, I have the Bears drafted George Pickens. It's a wide receiver from Georgia. Now, you guys know I love SEC football players. All they do is breed NFL players. And you know that the Bears love Georgia players. Roquan Smith is a Georgia player. Love him, love him, love him. So, now, I already talked about the fact Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney is a stud. Number two in his offense. You got Byron Pringle. Cool. I think Byron Pringle may be solid in his offense because if you look at it, and A-Dub brought this point up in the show before, how Byron Pringle does a lot of good work in the zone. Yeah, that was a good call-up. Now, I'm hoping that that translates here to Chicago with Justin Fields throwing to him. But now you can add a guy like George Pickens to the mix. Ooh, because we are missing in this offense an X receiver. Well, Pickens is going to be that guy that's going to replace an Allen Robinson. He's going to fill that role. And I think he has the tools to develop into a really, really big-time receiver in this league. Now, you guys have to look at the tape on this kid. Look back to his freshman year. That kid tore it up. 8 touchdowns, did his thing. But if anybody that watches college football, you know what happened with George Pickens. They had some horrible quarterback play on that team. And as a result of that, his numbers suffered. Now, he's not going to have the eye-popping numbers if you guys are just looking at it casually online and saying, oh, well, Prez, I don't really see it. But I'll tell you one thing. Turn on the tape of this kid. His ability on the field, it always stands out. Whether the stats stand out or not, this kid is a ball player. Now, I do want to take a step back, though, and say, he might be a little bit of a project. But however, in a season where we know that we're not necessarily contending, this is like basically a rebuild or a reload or however you want to classify it as. I think in a position like this, you could take a gamble on a kid like this. He's got to clean up a lot of aspects of his game, but that's where it comes with the coaching staff getting in there, evaluating him, understanding what he does well, things that he could do to get better. The traits that he does possess, those things are hard to find. Size-speed ratio with this kid, the way he tracks down deep pass artists, I'm telling you, if you don't believe me, and if you don't even have time to fire up tape, go look at some highlights on YouTube. Because I know some people, they'll say, oh, well, I looked at some tape. No, you didn't watch tape. You were watching YouTube highlights. A lot of those deep passes that were thrown his way, and this is with inadequate quarterback play. His catch radius, oh, good Lord. I'm just telling you, he's not going to be the immediate impact that Allen Robinson was. But, and I'm going to say this with my whole entire chest, George Pickens has the potential to be better than Allen Robinson was. Yeah, I said it. You think about the long term. With a George Pickens playing with a Darnell Mooney, good Lord. And don't let Ryan Poles make that move and get DK Metcalf in here. Listen, audience, I'm over here dreaming big. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. But listen, I just want to get some help for my boy Justin Fields. So at 39, George Pickens, wide receiver, Georgia. Now, we got another pick here in round two, pick number 48. It's the pick that we got in the Khalil Mack trade from the Chargers. Now, in this spot here, since we got the receiver that I'm all lathered up about, I was all lathered up about George Pickens. I don't care. Y'all can make fun of me. Watch this kid on tape, and you'll feel the same way. Now, at 48, I want the Bears to go linebacker here. Chad Muma. Now, this is a guy that A-Dub and I scouted at the Senior Bowl. And A-Dub had a chance to interview him a little bit and ask him a couple questions after a couple practices. Now, I'm going to make another little comparison that's going to get everybody a little hot and bothered around here. But Chad Muma is a converted safety. He's got excellent cover skills. You know who he reminds me of? Brian Urlacher when he first came out. When Brian Urlacher came out of New Mexico, Brian Urlacher was a converted safety. Now, I'm not saying that Chad Muma is going to be Brian Urlacher 2.0 or Brian Urlacher reloaded or nothing like that. All I'm trying to tell you is this guy would be outstanding in this lineup as a Mike linebacker for the Bears. Because then that will free up Roquan to go play the wheel position. Now, most of the time when you looked at Chad Muma from college, you saw him showing off his athleticism, running around, making plays. But he's also best known for his pass coverage. Very strong against the run. Very strong against the run. And we want to talk about what really matters. What is one of the areas on this team that A-Dub and I talked about a lot of times in our defense that pissed us off? Tackling. Well, guess what? Chad Muma, if you fire up the tape on him, consistent and technical as hell when it comes to tackling. Now, whichever team is fortunate enough to draft this kid, he's going to be a day one starter, and I hope he's here in Chicago. I would love that in our linebacker room. A combination of him with Roquan Smith. Oh, God. Audience, I'm telling you, fire up the tape on this kid. One of the things that a lot of times we talked about on the show when Danny Trevathan was here was, hey, heart and soul as far as, you know, somebody that the fan base loved, the players on the team loved, they rallied around him. But, hey, let's just be honest. He wasn't able to cover people well. You're going to have these problems with Chad Muma. So at 48, I want Chad Muma in the Bears uniform, 48. Now, in the third round, audience, at pick 71, it's time to go offensive line. So with this pick, and this is somebody I talked to you guys about before, somebody I'm still very high on, Cole Strange from Chattanooga. Now, I think this kid right here would be a really good home run pick for us. Now, Cody Whitehair, I don't see him being in the long-term plans for the Chicago Bears. I think this kid here can replace Cody. Now, while it's definitely a long-term move, it could be a short-term move as well. Now, Cole Strange, interior offensive lineman, a lot of starts under his belt, but again, what is the one thing that A-Dub and I talked to you guys a lot about a lot of the players that we saw down there at the Senior Bowl that we liked? It were the ones that showed versatility. Well, Cole is no different. This guy's had starts at left guard, left tackle, and at center. Yeah. So this is a guy right here that has that versatility. You cannot have enough of that on the offensive line. We talk about that so much on this show. And this is what Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are looking for. He fits the bill. He's mean. He's a nasty son of a bitch. That's what you want. He's going to maul people. He was doing that at Senior Bowl week. I was like, man, I love the way that this guy finishes blocks. Anchors in pass protection. Got a nice punch off the line of scrimmage. High motor. I'm telling you, artists, if you don't believe me, fire up the tape. I promise you guys will love what you see with this guy. He also never seems to get tired. And in the running game, he's always looking to finish a play. He's always looking for somebody to hit. I even saw him during Senior Bowl week. He just turned around. His head's always on a swivel. I love that. I'm sorry. That's the meathead football fan to be coming out on this. I don't care. Judge me all you want to. But I'm telling you one thing. This would be a great pickup if Ryan Poles is able to find this guy in the third round at 71. It would be amazing. This kid right here, he's got a lot of potential. Now looking at the fifth round here at pick 148. And I'm going to go edge rusher here. Now, my pick here is Michael Clemens, Texas A&M. Now, a lot of you guys are going to say, who's that? And I can understand why you say that. But he comes from a big-time program, and he went unnoticed because of the talent that was around him. And the reason why he came on my radar is because there's a kid on that team, DeMarvin Leal, who got all of the attention from NFL scouts. But one thing about Michael Clemens, he caught my attention because I saw some of the things he was doing on tape when I was looking at the Leal kid. And Clemens, to me, is ready. He's got tools to be a really solid pass rusher in the NFL. He's got moves. One of the things that I noticed with a lot of college guys when they're trying to get to the NFL is they don't really have a lot of pass rushing moves. That's not the issue here. He can set you up with a primary dig go to one of his secondary rush moves. Again, don't believe me? Go see for yourself. Motor. That was the thing that I saw with him that really impressed me. I was like, who is this kid? He was playing the run so well. And I'm telling you, Chicago, Bears Nation, we can never have too many pass rush specialists on this team. Robert Quinn, Travis Gibson, put Michael Clemens in that mix as well. Let's go. Shit, we got Muhammad coming into the team from the Colts. Bring them all here. Sack the quarterback. Let's get after the quarterbacks. Let's go. My second fifth-round pick at 150. And I'm going to go safety here. Tyson Anderson. Mr. Toledo. Now, every offseason, Bears Nation, we're all over here sitting over here wondering, who's going to start next to Eddie? Because it's been Gibson. You know, it's been, I mean, one year was a ha-ha, Clinton Dix. It's just, it's always like a, just a random guy that's next to him. But why don't we ever develop, why don't we ever draft a safety to develop them for that type of position instead of these stopgaps that they do? And I think that right now, this is the time to do so. Now, Tyson, this is a guy that me and A-Dub are very high on, a guy that we covered during the Senior Bowl, started 3 years at Toledo. The guy's got incredible size, length, and speed. I mean, if you look at what he did at the NFL Combine, oh, my goodness. That man right there snapped. Now, I know, audience, you guys are looking and saying prayers, but this is a developmental prospect. So, imagine what this kid can develop into in the right system, which I think Matt Eberflus's system is the right system for this kid. The ball skills is something that he can work through. But I think that he has the ability to become a long-term starter in this NFL. And at the very least, this season, you got a special teams ace, a kid that's going to run down there and play his ass off. But I think that this kid can have an immediate impact for this ball club. So at 150 in the fifth round, the Bears will draft Tyson Anderson, Mr. Toledo, University of Toledo. All right, my last pick here, audience. I'm going for a cornerback, Zion McCollum, Sam Houston State. Now, this guy right here, he's an FCS product. Versatility is the name of the game with this guy as well. Played nickel corner, weak side backer. Also played the dime package a lot. He's interchangeable. You can put him anywhere. Now, I know audience, you guys are going to look at this and say, but those are starting positions. No, they're not. But they're crucial to any defense. Look at the way these NFL offenses are trying to spread every defense out, right? They want to run no huddle. Well, guess what? If you got a sub-package guy like a Zion McCollum or a versatile guy that kind of has that type of skill set, then you don't have to burn timeouts. You're not at a disadvantage. And that's why when I look at a guy like this, this is a guy that in those sub packages still allows you the opportunity to still be good on defense. 4.33 40-yard dash, speed after speed after speed. Play corner, play safety, play in the box. He showed you it all. So anyway, when I look at a kid like this, Ryan Poles, I think he would be a great fit at Matt Eberflus's defense. So audience, just to recap real quick, round two pick at 39, George Pickens. Round 48, round two, pick 48, Chad Muma, Wyoming. Round three, pick 71, Cole Strange. Round five, pick 148, Michael Clemens, Texas A&M. Round five, pick 150, Tyson Anderson, University of Toledo. And finally, round six, pick 184, Zion McCollum, Sam Houston State. So there you have it, audience. That's my mock draft here for 2022. Hey, we'll see how I do. And you never know. You know, Brian Poles will probably end up trading up, trading down. But that's at least for what we have today. This is what I see. And I think it shores up a number of position holes that we have and a few glaring needs that we have on this team right now. But, man, if we can get any of those guys that I highlighted in this mock draft, I'll be happy as a motherfucker, y'all. I swear to God I will be. Well, A-Dub, we'll be back on the next episode, and we're going to be joined by a very special guest audience. I know. A little teaser room from your boy, Prez. Stay tuned. You're going to enjoy this guest. As always, we appreciate your continued support of this show and for helping make us a top-tier Chicago Bears podcast. Prez out. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.